Good morning. The scripture this morning is from Luke 15, 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region. And there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. But this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who was devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.'" This is the reading of God's word.
You know, I was very impressed with the ringing of the bell at the start. This is the only place I've ever seen that, and it's really nice. I really was impressed. But having not seen that anywhere, when she came down before the service started and was sitting there with the bell, I couldn't tell it was a bell. I thought she was sitting there with a club so that the speaker doesn't do a good job. So then when she came down again, I was wondering, does that work okay? Well, today I thought we would look at the topic of forgiveness, which is prevalent throughout the Bible. The dictionary definition of forgiveness says to release, to let go of, to cease to feel resentment against. But we want to look at forgiveness from the Christ perspective. So to do that, first we need to know what forgiveness is not, and then we can know what forgiveness is. Now, forgiveness is not forgiveness to destroy. And that's a phrase, forgiveness to destroy. Forgiveness to destroy overlooks no sin, no crime, no guilt. It picks out all the bad things a person can find about someone and overlooks anything loving about a person like the plague. When we hold a grievance against someone, we don't want to hear anything good about that person. We only want to hear and the negative about that, about them, and look for the negative in them. If by any chance we do want to forgive them, we first make sure that the whole world knows how aggrieved we are at what they did to us. In other words, we're the judge and jury, and emphasizing this other person's guilt to the world. Now, there are four types of forgiveness to destroy, and you may recognize some of it. Not that anybody here does that, of course. That's all them other people out there. You know. But there are four types of forgiveness to destroy. You may have seen these at some point. Number one, holier than thou. I am so noble that I forgive little you. Forgiveness to destroy. The second type of forgiveness to destroy is the flip side of that. It says, I'm sinful, you're sinful, we're all sinful, so I'm just as deserving of condemnation as you are. Now, while on the surface that may appear humble, it's actually saying that we think we can destroy the perfection that was created by God. Third type of forgiveness to destroy is martyrdom. I will sacrifice myself in order to forgive you. This merely demonstrates for all the world to see the guilt of the other person. It's not really love, it's subtle cruelty. And finally, the fourth type of forgiveness to destroy is conditional forgiveness. Conditional forgiveness says that forgiveness must be earned and bought. And we set ourselves up as the dictator of what these terms will be. This merely reinforces the belief in guilt and separation. So, those are the four types of forgiveness to destroy, and we don't want to practice that. What we want to know is the Christ definition of forgiveness. The Christ definition of forgiveness. It's the means by which we are healed. It's the means by which we are healed, by which we are restored to the remembrance that we were created by love and the remembrance of God's love. Gerald Jampolsky, in his well-known book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, which was written almost 50 years ago and is still available in bookstores, and you see it in Barnes & Noble, he says there are only two types of emotions. He lists all the emotions you can think of, and they all boil down to one of two things, either love or fear. And you can't have both at the same time. If a little child, let's say we have a grandchild or a nephew, maybe 6 or 7 years old, and they decide they're visiting us for the weekend. And they have their own room and their own little bed. And in the middle of the night, the little child comes over to us in our room and crying and all upset because the child has had a bad dream and is just all upset. What would we do with this little child? Would we go, whap, 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 no, you dummy, that's just a dream, get back to bed, there's no problem. No, we wouldn't do that. We would comfort the child. We would escort the child back to bed, tell them there are no boogeymen under the bed, and be kind and gentle to the child. And we all agree that's what we would do. But it's a different situation when an adult person is in our face expressing anger to us or shouting at us. But it's the exact same thing as a little child. The little child is expressing fear. When an adult is angry and shouting at us, they're expressing fear also. Now, fear was not created by God. Fear was created by humankind. So therefore, if someone is believing in fear or practicing fear, they must be insane because they're believing in something that God didn't create. In fact, Jesus says as much in the Bible. If you're practicing fear, you're kind of insane because God didn't create fear. So when this adult is in our face, do we say, oh, well, you're just a little insane? That probably wouldn't help the situation. But it's the exact same thing as a little child. The next time someone is angry with you, can you picture that person in front of you as the little child asking for love and forgiveness? That's the Christ method of forgiveness. All fear is one of three things. Control. Am I in control of the situation? Acceptance. Am I received by others, accepted by others? Or number three, a combination of the two. Always remember that fear is a cry for help, just like the little child. And it also means that anytime we are believing in fear, we are temporarily insane because we are not practicing or not believing in what God created. So, as it says in the Bible, in the story of the prodigal son, which is the ultimate story of forgiveness in the Bible, when the son came back from afar off, having squandered his inheritance, the father didn't go, whap, 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 you're awful, get out of here. No, he threw a big party for his son. There are several lessons from the story of the prodigal son. We all get the idea of the first son and the fact that his father forgave him. What often is overlooked in this story of the prodigal son is the second son. The second son goes to his father and says, what's going on here? I followed your wishes my whole life. I've done everything you said. You never threw me a party. And God and the father, or symbol for God, said to him, but son, I've always loved you, but your brother who was lost is now found. And it's appropriate that we celebrate with him. Our healing process here in Earth School is twofold. We are like both. Throughout our lives, we experience situations where we're like the first prodigal son, we're like the prodigal son, and second, like his brother. Like the prodigal son, we need to recognize that we cannot find happiness in the ways and places we have been seeking it. We can only find it by coming home. And then, like the self-righteous son, we must learn that if we deny our brother's or sister's place as God's child, then we also deny our own place. Only by our willingness to recognize and celebrate who God is can we know our own identity. There's a nice little quote that I found a long time ago that summarizes this whole thing very nicely. When you meet anyone, remember that it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Never forget your responsibility to him, because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him or her their place in the kingdom, and you will receive yours. Just a wonderful quote. So as long as we are identified with the ego, we'll have a powerful investment in seeing someone else as guilty. Because we believe that by focusing attention on someone else's guilt buys us a reprieve from things that we have done. What we need to do is practice forgiveness for salvation. Forgiveness for salvation means We don't try to overlook that which has happened, but we have to not make the error real. We don't make the sin real. So the little child expressing fear, we recognize the fear, but we don't make it real because the fear wasn't created by God. If something is real, it has real, it's a cause, it has real effects. When we get angry or upset, we are claiming that a person's actions are the cause. The other person's actions are the cause of our being upset. And we say that other person destroyed our inner peace. To not make the error real means to demonstrate that it has no effect on us. Can we do this with the angry person in our face? Very easy for me to stand up here and say, yeah, this is what you do. But difficult to put into practice. But again, that's why we are here in Earth School. Our function here is to learn how to forgive. Let's take an example, the sun shining. The sun is always shining. Now, oftentimes there'll be clouds go by and cover up the sun. Does that mean the sun isn't still there? No, sun's still there. The clouds have just temporarily obscured the sun. We need to remove the clouds that block our awareness of love's presence. Remove the clouds that block the awareness to love's presence, to God's presence. For true forgiveness, we must see with the vision of Christ. We must see as Christ saw. Christ saw all the problems and all the bad things people were doing. He saw them, but he didn't condemn them. He forgave all the time. We are to see with the vision of Christ. Remember back in the 90s, the WWJD buttons, what would Jesus do? Same thing. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus see this situation? We learn to forgive when we ask to see with Christ's vision instead of our own. We learn to forgive when we ask to see with Christ's vision instead of our own. That's a good little opening prayer to say the first thing, as soon as you wake up in the morning. Lord, help me to see with Christ's vision today. Help me to see with Christ's vision today. What happens when you see with Christ's vision? You achieve inner peace. You lighten your heart. Isn't that what we all want? Here's another little phrase that I heard a while ago that I thought was interesting. Forgiveness is giving yourself the thing that you've always wanted so that you don't have to blame anyone anymore for not having it. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is giving yourself what you've always wanted so that you don't have to blame anyone anymore for not having it. The poem, the well-known poet, Edwin Markham, wrote, "He drew a circle to shut me out, heretic rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win, we drew a circle to take him in." So finally, we've talked in generalities here, let's look at some specific things you can do every day to practice forgiveness. First, spend a few minutes every day cleaning out your thinking. Forgive anyone against whom you have ill will. And an ideal way to do this is the 40-day prayer. 40-day prayer is very effective, very brief. What it says is, you name the person, "Mary, I'm praying to you. Thank you for all that you have done for me. Forgive me for all that I have done to you." That's the whole prayer. But you got to do it 40 days in a row. And if you happen to skip a day, you got to start over. Now, if you do this prayer to someone for 40 days, that's going to change your thinking, and the 40-day prayer has been very effective for a long time in helping people practice forgiveness. Second thing we can do to practice forgiveness is practice on small hurts, so that then if some big hurt comes along later on, you've already had some practice. Number three, challenge the shoulds in your life. S-H-O-U-L-D-S, the shoulds. I should do this, or they should do this. Number four, try instant forgiveness on the spot. Somebody does something, you just say a prayer, I forgive them instantly. Of course, recognize that anger and ill will do manifest themselves in health problems, so do yourself a health favor and practice forgiveness. Remember that forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. Forgiveness is for you. A man was in prison, and he was finally released, and his friend said to him, do you hold ill will against your jailer? And the man said, yes, I do. And his friend said, then you are still in prison with him. Finally, I'll mention what happens when we pass on. Near-death experiences, we've heard all of these, or thousands of these, and they're all pretty similar. Started with this book by James Moody back in the 70s. What happens when we pass on? Well, we've all heard we go through a tunnel. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And we come up beside this light, and it's kind of like a light being there. And standing beside this light being, we review our lives as a scroll, like we're watching a movie. We watch our whole life. And as we're watching our life, and here's a place where we did something really good, and the light being expands and pulsates. And then we move along a little further, and yeah, here's a place where maybe we didn't make the best decision, and the light being contracts slightly. But the light being never goes away. We judge ourselves by seeing our life in review. So I ask you the question. Anytime you are ready to take an action, ask yourself, when I pass on and I'm standing beside the light being reviewing my life, and I see what I am about to do, will the light being expand or contract? What we are to do is to see things differently. We are to see things as Christ saw them. If we do this, that will enable us to practice forgiveness the way Jesus practiced it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to see with the vision of Christ. Help us to see and practice forgiveness as Christ did. Amen.